Welcome to African Couch Potato, the mashup. This is episode 41, which means that very soon we will be celebrating our birthday on the 18th of July, which coincides with Nelson Mandela's birthday every single year. Last month, in episode 37, I mentioned a new show that came out on Netflix called Inkabi. I also mentioned that I wanted to get Princess Mhlongo in studio because, one, she co-produced it, and two, we are from the same town, Witbank, and from the same school. And today, she is here with me in studio. Princess, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm very good. I'm very excited.
Yeah,
and also, you're a very busy person.
Eish. Yeah, we try. You know, we try to.
The last time I saw you, you were in uniform. I think you Kunja, what are those masses that you do where you say goodbye to the matrix and you're carrying candles, wearing stockings and a white jersey. Yeah. So from there, I don't even know you're into drama because obviously you're a couple of years ahead of me.
Sure.
Then you graduated in 2007 from which institution?
TUT.
TUT.
Yeah.
Then after that, it goes a bit quiet. And then around 2010, that's when you start booming and traveling to the UK.
Yeah.
What happened in 2010?
Wow. I think while I was studying, you know, I always wanted to be in the industry, you know. So while I was studying, I was already working. I was doing a lot of industrial theater. You know, I was trying to explore acting.
Yeah.
But acting wasn't necessarily the passion. You know, my passion was directing.
Mm.
So it sort of took a while to find out what that means because there are not a lot of female directors during my time, you know. So it really took a lot of researching and exploring that world until I got an opportunity to direct my first production, which was Zeke Mdaa play and The Girls in Their Sunday Dresses.
Yes.
So that's what took me abroad and, you know, gave me the opportunity to just experience festivals around the world.
Yeah. So now you go to the UK. Was it your first time abroad?
No, actually, my first time I went to Braunschweig, which is in Germany. That was my first, and that was like a group of artists from all over the world. They just invited us to a festival, you know, to watch works from all around the world.
Yeah.
And sort of give feedback, you know. So that was my first time. I wasn't taking any work. I was still new in the industry. So the UK was the first time where I'm actually taking work, you know, and touring with my voice, I guess, as a director. Yeah.
And then when you get there, what's the landscape like compared to here?
I definitely needed that experience because, I mean, yo, it's just on another level. You know, festivals are booming.
Yeah.
The only festival I knew was Grahamstown, you know, NAFF. That just gave me a great perspective of the reach, you know. If I wanted to create my own festival, what it should look like, the type of works people were already presenting, you know. So, yeah, it was quite wide because everyone from all over the world is there, you know.
Whereas
Ekaya, it's more of just like, our style as well of the type of stories we were telling and how, you know, sort of had a similar voice. And I wanted to explore something completely different, you know, which was like experimental theater, absurd theater, all the wild and unconventional type of theater. That's what I wanted to do, you know. So that sort of gave me exactly what I needed to come back home and then see what that means within a South African context.
And is there a shift in audiences? Like, would you say that abroad people are more open to absurdism, whereas here it's like,
it was definitely that, you know, because after I did And the Girls, which was more commercial, you know, everyone loved it, you know, it's what people want you to do. You know, I then got my Standard Bank Award, you know, and there I was like, good shots.
So you got your Standard Bank Award before Trapped or because of Trapped?
No, Trapped is sort of a result of, here's your Standard Bank Award, what do you want to do? Then I decided to do my own production, which is Trapped. But before that, I had only really did And the Girls in Their Sunday Dresses. I always say, you know, it was just the right time because they needed a female voice, you know, and I happened to be that voice at that time. But I still needed to find myself. At the time, I when I got the award, I didn't feel I deserved it because I didn't feel I had done much, you know? But it was perfect opportunity for me to find my voice, you know? So, which was exploring that well. So in terms of audiences abroad, I think they were more open. I know now because I've even traveled more still, you know, in that genre. But I think at home, it's still a gap. You know, there are a lot of people experimenting on it, but there's not a lot of platforms to showcase that work. You know, you have to go international for that work to be seen. But at home, you know, not so much.
You said you feel like you didn't deserve the Standard Bank Award, but now when you get your Naledi Theatre Award nominations, do you felt like that was spot on?
Yeah. I mean, awards are interesting because at times they're very seasonal, you know, like, well, most times, you know, it's focusing on that moment. And at that moment, for the work that I got nominated for, it was like, it was an exchange with Argentina, like it was a script which I sort of adapted.
Yeah,
it was completely, I don't want to say not the type of work I do, but not, I love South African stories. So I would have expected, you know, for And the Girls, you know. So when it came to Cooking with Elisa, that's what it was called, I just felt like, wow, I think they liked it because it was experimental, it was different. But I also wanted to get things for, you know, that African story with the vibe, you know. So it did give me some sort of validation of like, I'm on the right path. But also it was something that the Standard Bank director at the time had said to me, and they said, it's not about what you've done, but what they see you will do, you know?
Oh, I see.
So that was like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
That means, you know, they're backing you in what they see you'll achieve in the future, you know? So
it's almost like an assessment of potential to say, if she's good at this, she'll be good with more.
Yeah, because it's a young Standard Bank young artist.
Yes.
Yeah, young artist.
Okay. Yeah. Then you go to North Carolina, which is around 2014, 2016. UK versus US, is there a difference?
Definitely. North Carolina, we were presenting a story, Mam Thembi Mtshali.
Yes.
And it's a musical. They love her there.
Mm.
You know, it's a festival that always invites her, that honors her. So that was my first American audience experience, you know, where we're presenting work. But also it's a very different festival because it's a festival for mostly over 50s, 60s African Americans, you know. And the North Carolina is also very strange, you know, the place itself, very divided.
I was gonna say, isn't it like very churchy?
Yeah, it's very, very churchy, but not so much, you know, like it's not like you're seeing church bells and, but you feel the divide, you know, like you see like this festival was just for a black audience and they come in buses, you know, so you have like over 50s, 60s coming to watch theater, full house, sold out every time, you know, dancing, because I think they're more connected to just our history, you know, and any part of it they want to experience. So that festival sort of just gave me a view of those type of people. But I think through traveling more in the States, you see that, oh, completely, you know, very different. Like this year we did New York. I had never presented work in New York, and the type of work that I'm currently touring with is very, it's performance art, so it's really out there. And so even though I had done North Carolina, when I went to New York, I had never thought I'd meet up with such an audience, you know, that's like defensive and very, they want to distance themselves on the topic at hand, you know, and sort of want to address other issues, you know, within the work, which was interesting.
Yeah, that's actually weird because you would think New York is more liberal, you know, and more open-minded.
Yeah, I think within that, they sort of create situations that allow them to fit in to their views, right? So if you're presenting a work that's dealing with human zoos, you know, and it's talking about our history and how we're reflecting with it now and saying, hey, maybe now we still got to check ourselves because we do have performance artists who have certain specific type of performance artists who make it abroad. And why do they? Is it still Sarki Batman times where you know, the body is still
exhibition.
You know, so it's not the conversation that they'll want to have, but really the conversation of, did you get consent of bringing your body in my space? Because the work is, you know, so consent was a huge flag or whatever you want to call it that they kept on bringing up, you know, of consent. Not in depth, you know, not in depth of like canceling the show, but they were really turning towards that direction of wanting to know about consent in this particular work.
Is this now Black Circus?
Yeah, this is Black Circus, yeah. So from me back, you know, when I was young and experiencing the States then with the musical, you know, it's like, hey, but now once you push the boundaries a bit.
Personally, do you think we are just overly woke as like a people? Do you think we're living in times where we're just too sensitive about too many things?
Yeah, there's a bit of too much wokeness. Because when we went to Portland, it was like different wokeness of like, thank you for educating me on your experience, on your lived experience that I now am more aware of. Whereas in New York, it was hard to have that conversation. You know, it was, you could feel it. You can read your audience, you know, on how they're taking the work, you know. So I felt.
Do you also now jump on cues? Because theater is very interactive. Do you find that if you've got like a slower or more rigid audience, you have to like fine tune your work for the next round?
Not really. You know, with this particular work, it's very much Albert Ibogwe Khoza on stage. Yeah. You know, Ibogwe is a presence, you know. Ibogwe is a person who is a walking.
Yes.
So it's not definitely someone where it's like, hey, let's fine tune it for this audience. No, that show stays the same. The only thing that changes is the interaction between the audience.
Yes.
So now if we bring up an audience member on stage, which is part of the show, and we dress you up in a monkey suit and say, dance.
Yeah.
There'll be those who will dance and go, oh, yeah. There'll be those who'll be like, I am not.
Yeah, not a chance.
Know? So nothing changes in that instance. That reaction on its own informs everyone in the audience, you know, what are they going to take away?
Yeah.
Whatever they want to take from that experience of that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Albert is quite a presence. You think they find him intimidating because he's very loud in appearance and vocal about his beliefs.
Yeah. Most of the festivals that invite us, I always say we go where we are wanted.
Yeah. You know?
So those curators or programmers really know what they're doing. They want to challenge their audience, you know. I've traveled with Ibogwe and that presence just in an airport.
It's a lot.
You know, just like we've had just situations, whether it's we're in a country where our skin color is not everywhere, you know, we're gonna get looked at. But I think because it's Albert Ibogwe Khoza and she basically walks with so much, you know, everywhere, that may bring intimidation, but also may, you know, allow people to have some sort of intrigueness and want to find out
curiosity.
Yeah, you know, and we have that, you know, where people just wanna find out more on whatever. You know, whether it's South Africa or just, as a person, you know, people, come towards that.
Pivoting from the theater space into Inkabi, which is a feature film, how do you get involved?
Well, I mean, it's a family business. I'll put it that way. I mean, I've been with Norman for a long time, you know, and for a long time, our worlds have really been
separated.
My career was its own thing and Norman, his career was his own thing. But there came a time where my interests and also just curiosity just took me towards that. From the basics, I think you'll be so surprised how theater and film people, you know, think it's like, so it's one thing until firstly you furthering your education and seeing that they are worlds apart, you know. And so I had to go to the basics of just the script of his process of writing. So I know I was there when you wrote Inkabi, you know,
and
that was quick. But the process of now trying to get money for Inkabi means yes. you have to bring other people involved, and they want to dissect the script and make it their own, you know. So we went through quite a process with that. But during that, I'm trying to basically find money, you know. Yeah. So that meant it was just easier for us to start our business and for me to go in that direction, because we had time for me to learn, you know, what it means to be a producer, what it means to find the money.
Yeah.
The world, you know, I literally had to shoot a film to understand. Yes. You know, there was no time to go to school. But the opportunity and also timing was perfect for us, for me to be in an environment where they basically nurture you, you know. It was a perfect program to shoot our first film. He shot many, but in terms of producing together, the timing was right and the space and environment was right.
And how does that storyline come about, Seka?
Hey, I mean, I think like any story, you know, like what we realized in just releasing an Inkabi is that so many people want to tell the story.
Yeah.
And I think we should be in a industry where everyone should write. You know, I think Norman as a writer, Ukulele Alex Township, so there are a lot of stories which he's always had interest in. But because he's trained, he'll always wanna explore it in his way, you know? So I won't know specifically whether it was an experience. It was just like a South African story that needs to be told, like any other. Like, I think we think we are producing, but I feel like there's so many stories that are getting left behind. Ngabi is one, you know, Rain Queen is coming out, you know, like there's just so many things we haven't touched on. Our legends,
yes, you
know, we haven't even scraped. So for me, I'm just on that, let's write and produce whatever it is. So he's got tons of stories. We get a lot of writers as well who sent through, you know. I think it's just trying to bridge that gap of let's actually start producing, you know, more films, you know.
So now when you've gone and sourced the funding or some of the funding, does Netflix have a local commissioning editor in SA?
They do. I don't know if they're not necessarily based in SA, you know. I think offices are in Amsterdam, you know, but there is someone who's not looking at SA, but looking at Africa as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're based here in Joburg.
No, they're still based in Amsterdam.
So, yeah, because it's always intrigued me how you can move into a territory and not have people of that territory kind of dictate the direction that the story should go. Because in essence, you should be here. Instead of just signing a piece of paper somewhere abroad.
Yeah, I mean, you see, with the partnership with NFVF, you know, so it's a partnership with Netflix, NFVF. We just applied our scripts, you know, our screenplays, and they selected six, where it's a fixed budget. This is how much you get. Then in that process, it's them sort of, with the distributor being Indigenous, guides all of us, whether you experience or not, it's still like one packaged deal. It's not a Netflix original, because there it's intense, you know. It's intense in terms of from screenplay to just the involvement. So this one, they weren't so much involved. I think part of the initiative was to try to discover what are the stories that are being told freely as writers and filmmakers, you know. I think they wanted to just put in the pot, and then I mean, Indigenous did sort of play a role in terms of fine-tuning, you know, workshopping the script, but also in reality it's like time is of the essence. That's six films. We're working on a schedule. We were hoping to release them sooner, you know, but it's not in our control, you know. So I think the whole project as a whole for them was a trial run of like, how would this work, you know, for the future, for independent filmmakers.
And with those tight schedules, what was your production time for Inkabi?
Inkabi, we ended up shooting, I think, 3.5 weeks.
3.5 weeks? For a 90-minuter?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's tight.
Yeah, that's tight.
Yeah, Norman, luckily, I wouldn't advise it for anyone, but we made all our dates. We didn't go over budget, you know, we kept it within. I think that was part of it, you know, you want to actually deliver this film. So for Norman, he has been shooting a lot of films with PAP, parental
advisory,
Abo Lungsta, you know, and they've been just bashing out. I'm sure they're shooting their fourth film now, you know, because I think it's also, we're reaching a time as, I mean, I'm only entering this industry, of, so I'm always like, hey, don't say too much. But I feel like just independence is becoming important, you know, as well, because a lot of filmmakers don't own their films, you know. Mm. And that was the first lesson that Norman has shared with me, that he learned in his earlier films when he went and he was touring it all over the world. And they were like, Norman, you know, do you own this film? If you don't own it, how are you going to do your next one? Yes. Which is so true, you know, because we have partial rights, you know, within Gabi, we were able to shoot our next film, you know. And for us, it's just been like, we shot this film 2 years ago. We're not where we were then, but just getting in that rhythm of bashing out films. Sambi and Nati will get those 90-100 million
budgets, yes.
You know. And obviously, we're talking a different story when it comes to that. But for us, it was like, with what we were handed and the task, you know, it was trying to get in, you know, get in, deliver, and move on to the next thing and see, because now at least you've broken a door that was closed. You know, a lot of people, even now, people ask me, "Ungena njani ku Netflix?" I'm like, I don't know. I really don't, you know, because it's not like as open, which is a shame. 2 years ago, you'd ask anyone, people were keeping those cards to themselves. Yes. And being a newcomer, I'm definitely not getting,
any access.
So for me, it was like, I'm always looking for access. What's the way we can enter and from there start building? That's what it sort of helped us with, yeah.
When Inkabi is now launching, do you watch it as well?
Hey.
Or are you just like over the project?
It was so hard because, I mean, I wasn't in the country, yeah, bro? And it was just like, I could feel the vibe was very emotional, you know, so you can't just sit down and, you know, friends want to watch it with you. And I'm like, oh, I literally had to watch it when I got back home. We watched it when we premiered it before I left.
Yes.
Which was nice, big screen. But watching it, I only could watch it at home when I'm back at home. But,
isn't there a FOMO because you're in Sao Paulo and now big launch that's happening and all the newspaper articles are coming out?
Yeah, not really. Like, ish. You know, like, you still thank God for social media. I wasn't sleeping, like, because of jet lag, and I think we were 5 hours behind, you know. So if and we have the show, so I'd come back, maybe it's midnight, I'd have to wait the 2 hours to wait for everyone to wake up, you know. Then once they wake up, then I sleep a bit, then wake up in the morning and start communication. So it was just a bit of adjusting. I definitely wanted to be home, but it was also nice. Norman was shooting. It was just nice to be away from it all, you know.
Yeah. And what's next for Princess?
You
go by Princess or Rosins?
I use all my names now.
Okay.
Princess Rosins Imshong. I was given So now I'm just like, it was funny. Yeah, I just made the Brazilians had to write all my names. Like, why not? And yeah, they were very friendly. But I'm loving this industry, you know. I've been touching on music, theater, you know, and film.
Kwanju, you managed something Soweto for
did,
a bit.
Yeah. You know, during those early years. And but the film, it feels like you're everything that I've wanted in one place.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really looking forward to growing and learning. This is all new for me. I'm just like enjoying the ride. We have another film coming out this year, later, you know, October, probably independently. We'll send it to festivals, horror. That's going to get people talking. And I love that space of just freedom. Sort of like the
theater space.
The theater of just that avant-garde. Mm. So I'm enjoying this moment and I just hope it grows and takes us to great heights.
And any words of wisdom for any young girls coming up?
Yeah, like I always say, don't be afraid to break those doors. Don't be afraid to ask. You'll never know what you receive, and to dream. You know, I've jotted down everything I've wanted to accomplish and it's coming true. So I really believe a lot in manifestation all the way, you know. So I'd say to any young girl, please, let's stick together and grow the industry, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, the opportunities are there. You just have to break those doors.
Where do people get a hold of African Entertainers?
African Entertainers, they can find us on all social media platforms. We're also based in Brum. You know, we love being in Brum. It's youth, you know, so 99 Juta. Mm-hmm. There's a whole hub. Boys of Soweto are also there, you know. So if they want to see us physically, they can come there. Definitely just connecting with artists, but they can also reach out to us on the socials.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was Princess.
Thank you.
Rose.
Congratulations to you guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Platforms. I've listened to a few. I saw Johnny was on. And
yes.
Johnny, yeah. And Garabo. So.
Yeah. And for you guys who have been listening, it's African Couch Potato on all of our social media platforms. And from me, Gino Shidile, your host, it's goodbye and keep binging until we hear from me again.